Yesterday I started talking about the 38 blessings which the Lord Buddha taught as being blessings in an ultimate sense, in the highest sense. Today we continue on with the second verse, which has three more blessings in it. Patirupa te savaso Chakube chakata punyata atasama paniti cha etamang kapuma. Patirupa te savaso means to live in a suitable country, a suitable place, suitable location. Pupe chakata punyata, having done good deeds in the past, and atta samapaniti, to set oneself in the right direction. Eta mangalamutamang, these are blessings in the highest sense. Living in a suitable country, suitable location, suitable place, is another one of those things which is most important in living the spiritual life. It's most true for people coming from foreign countries, who oftentimes are not able to find the practice of the Buddha's teaching in their home country. And it's necessary for them to fly long, long way, travel far, all the way to Thailand or Burma or one of the many countries where it is possible to practice. They have to find a suitable location. Even though they've come to Thailand, many people who come to Thailand to visit, many people still never think to come to practice meditation. Or are not able to find the right place or a suitable place to take up the practice. A suitable place means it's necessary to have a place where all of one's necessities are met, where there is food and shelter and where the people are friendly and supportive. And where the teaching is suitable, suited to one's temperament. In Buddhism there are four kinds of temperament, based on one's inclination. Some different people have a temperament for lust or for passion. A person who is passionate. And one group of people is set on views. And so they separate people out into temperaments. These are the temperaments in Vipassana. In Samatha meditation, of course, there are six different kinds of people which they classify, but in Vipassana meditation they classify into four. People who are passionate, people who have wrong view, and people who have practiced Samatha, people who have practiced Vipassana before. This means in earlier times or even in past lives. For people who are passionate, it's necessary to teach mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the feelings. When someone has mature wisdom, if one has weak wisdom, we teach mindfulness of the body. If one has strong wisdom, teach mindfulness of the feelings. Same with someone who has practiced samatha, tranquility meditation before. Weak wisdom, teach body, mindfulness of the body, rising, falling. Strong wisdom, teach feelings, mindfulness of pain, aching, and so on. If someone is set in wrong view, is attached to wrong or speculative views, if they have weak wisdom, teach mindfulness of the mind. If they have strong wisdom, teach mindfulness of the Dhamma, the five hindrances, the six senses, and so on. And same if someone has practiced vipassana in the past. If they have weak wisdom, teach mindfulness of the mind. If they have strong wisdom, mature wisdom, teach mindfulness of the Dhamma. And the Dhammas. This is the suitable teaching, how to teach Vipassana suitable to one's character type. So even though we give to meditators who come all four foundations of mindfulness, in a way this means it's suitable for all people of all character types. But also we have to know the difference between individuals. We have to remember where someone is coming from and adjust their practice suitably. For instance, old people, generally their wisdom is, their intelligence, their mind is not, for some people, talking about very old people whose mind is failing them. When the mind starts to fail, then you have to give only mindfulness of the body. The wisdom element is not strong anymore. This is the suitable teaching. Also, suitable means we have to live in this. We have to be suitable inside as well. It means our body has to be taken care of, and that our mind has to be established in goodness as well. Our mind cannot be running after sensual pleasures. We have to stop our mind from being distracted by the pleasures of the sense, being distracted by external phenomena. We have to keep our mind focused and fixed and so on. And we have to live in a suitable body. So our body has to be well taken care of and free from disease and so on. This is Patirupati Sava. So it's a blessing in the highest sense. When we live in a suitable location externally, Only when we live in a suitable location is it possible to practice Vipassana meditation. Even sometimes we have a teacher, but we have no place to practice. And we have a place to practice, but no teacher. And we have a place to practice and a teacher, but no place to teach, or so on. The location has to be suitable for the practice, or there's no food, or there's no shelter, or so on. We have to have a suitable place to. To practice meditation. This is a great blessing. It allows us to develop ourselves and to become pure in our mind. The second blessing in this verse is the fifth blessing of overall. Ubbe trikata punyata, having done good deeds in the past. Good deeds are something which are only good in the having done in the past. A good deed when done in the present moment, it can bring happiness, but really it's the result or the fruit of the deed which shows whether it was good or whether it was bad. In fact, oftentimes people are ordinary people who haven't practiced vipassana meditation or who haven't developed their mind spiritually will often be skeptical as to whether doing good deeds really does result. Sometimes we do good deeds again and again and don't see any real result. Don't see anything good coming back to us. This is generally because people, having done good deeds or doing what they think are good deeds, and they don't look carefully and watch carefully. Sometimes the deeds which we are doing are not really good deeds. Our mind is not intent upon goodness. And sometimes we don't look carefully to see what is the real result of our deeds. Don't consider carefully to see that actually we really have created a sort of karmic loop, a karmic potential in the world, which has created happiness in our mind and created goodness in the world around us. We change the world, and we can see that the effect will come back to us in the future, both in this life and most likely in the next life. When we die, our minds will be happy and will be at peace because of the good deeds which we've done. We won't be scared or afraid or angry or upset because we hadn't done any good deeds. Having done good deeds in the past is a blessing because of the effect that it has on the mind. Having done good deeds in the past has the effect of calming and purifying the mind. In fact, the word good deeds is a translation of the word punya. Punya is a word which means to purify. Santanang puneti visodeti ti punyang. We call it punya because it purifies, because it cleans the consciousness, because it cleans one's being. The good things which we do, for instance, generosity, giving support, giving help, giving items which are of use to other people, giving with a free heart and so on. Morality, avoiding doing bad deeds, avoiding killing, refraining from killing, from stealing, from adultery, from lying, refraining from drugs and alcohol, or even for meditators, taking on the life of chastity, not eating in the afternoon, avoiding entertainment and decoration, and avoiding, refraining from higher luxurious beds. And so on. For monks, for novices, 10 rules. For monks, 227 rules. This is all morality. It's a kind of boon. It's a kind of way, bunya. It's a kind of way of purifying one's mind, purifying oneself. When we've done this in the past, our minds will be calm. When we have morality, our minds will be stable. even when we give support to other people, when we give support or help or even teach to other people, this is a kind of a gift, and this purifies our mind. And the third type of punya, of good deed that we can do, is meditation. And for all of us, we can feel already that this is true. When you've practiced meditation in the past, it's a blessing in the ultimate sense, because it purifies and cleanses the mind. When the mind is purified and cleansed already, then one can live one's life in peace and happiness and comfort and well-being. One doesn't have to be bothered by greed or anger or delusion. One's mind is clear, one's mind is pure. This is why having done these things is a good deed. Some people, they only look to a short distance. They practice meditation and they have to suffer and they have to fight with all sorts of unpleasant conditions. And they think that meditation has no purpose. But really, they don't see that they're actually fighting or wrestling with themselves, wrestling with all of the bad things which exist inside. Working hard to be patient and overcome these bad, unwholesome states. And that having done this, pūpe cakata, having done this already, in the future their life will be blessed. They'll be blessed with peace, with happiness, with well-being. This is the fifth blessing of all. The sixth is atta samāpaniti, to set oneself on the right path, on the right course. And of course, the right path, or the right course of action, the right course to take in one's life, is the path of the Eightfold Noble Path. Again, noble means it's something which leads one to be noble, leads one's mind to be free from greed, free from anger, free from delusion, free from jealousy and stinginess and conceit and wrong view and so on. Free from all the evil, bad things in the mind. It's the path which leads one to be, one's mind to be pure. It's a path which leads one's mind to be pure, and it has eight parts. Eight parts, but in brief, the Eightfold Noble Path can be summarized up in three parts. The first part, morality. Morality is right action, right speech, or right speech, right action, right livelihood. Is morality. Concentration is right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. And the third one, wisdom. Wisdom is right view and right thought. So the eight parts of the Eightfold Noble Path, in brief, to make it easy to understand it, is set in three parts. Morality, keeping the body and the speech pure, and keeping the mind from running off into defilement. Guarding the mind from falling into evil. Guarding the mind, keeping it with the body, keeping it with the feelings, the mind, with the dhammas. And morale and concentration, keeping the mind fixed on the object. Once the mind is not running here, not running there, and one's body and one's speech are calm or quiet or are tranquil, one can develop great states of concentration. One's mind becomes fixed, becomes focused, becomes set on a single object. We acknowledge rising, it's fixed on the rising. We acknowledge falling, it's fixed on the falling. This is called Lakkanupanijana. Lakkanupanijana. It's meditation on the three characteristics. Meditation on the impermanence, meditation on suffering, meditation on jhana. It's jhana based on impermanence, based on suffering, based on non-self. Coming to see the truth about reality. It's a kind of jhana, it's a concentration. And wisdom, when we acknowledge rising and falling, so then the wisdom which arises to see impermanent, when we focus and see impermanent suffering and non-self, this is the wisdom part. It is seeing that it leads us to see also the Four Noble Truths. When we see impermanent suffering and non-self, we come to let go of the cause of suffering. It means we come to abandon craving for the body, craving for the mind, craving for the whole world around us. Our mind becomes set and established, fixed like a stone, like a rock. Our mind becomes solid like a rock, unmoved by the winds of change, unmoved by the ways of the world. The mind becomes fixed and firm, not running here and there after all of the objects of the sense. The mind sees the truth of suffering, sees the cause of suffering. And by abandoning the cause, one follows the right path. By abandoning craving, this is following the right path. One's mind is moral, has morality, concentration, and wisdom. And one reaches the goal of life, which is the cessation of suffering, the end of suffering, no more suffering, no more sorrow, lamentation, and despair, no more bodily suffering, no more mental suffering. No more not getting what we want. No more getting what we don't want. No more having our wishes unfulfilled. In brief, no more suffering. No more body suffering, no more mind suffering. We'll be in peace and happiness at all times. So these three are three more blessings among the 38 blessings that the Lord Buddha taught. You can see that these ones have a lot to do with vipassana meditation. When we practice meditation, it's important to live in the right place. When we practice meditation, our minds become pure and we follow the right path. The pinnacle of the Lord Buddha's teaching is vipassana meditation. It's the highest. Vipassana, to see clearly, is what the Lord Buddha taught. That we should not be confused or misunderstanding about the things around us or the things inside of ourselves. So here's all the more reason that we continue to practice vipassana meditation, so that we come to gain the highest blessings in the world, the highest blessings which exist in an ultimate sense.